Welcome to Don't Quit, where you come to be encouraged to live a better life full of joy and purpose. Welcome to episode 42. This is going to be one of my very favorite episodes, and I am so excited that you're joining me today. Today, we will be talking about why choosing slow living over the hustle culture will change your life. In today's world, it is natural and normal to feel like we should be doing more, but perhaps being present in our lives is enough. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, we are always getting ready to live, but never living. And the founder of the Simple, Slow, and Lovely blog and community, Emma Scheib, said, "Slow living is a lifestyle choice that enables you to rebel against busyness and embrace living with more purpose, intention, and mindfulness." At some point in your life, you are going to come to a point where you feel drained. You feel as if life has nothing left to give you and that you are chasing happiness in all the wrong places. Your days are busy, but you feel empty. For me, it just happened this past month, and I know I am a baby to the slow living movement, but these past few weeks have made me realize what I have been missing, and I have to tell you, my life is changed now for the better. I will never go back to the pace I had before, and I know the culture is going to try to break its way back into my life daily, but I am determined to continue to push it back, be different, and stand up for what I know is essential in my life. We tend to live on autopilot and we accept what others around us or social media says will make us happy. More, more, more. More food, more friends, more activities, more of a house, more money. The list goes on. But none of this truly provides happiness and peace. And you may be a Christian like me and have the thinking that as long as you have Jesus in your life, then that should produce happiness. But even our faith has been hijacked by society and the modern day culture. Jesus is not just someone we ask into our lives and move on. And so often this is what Christianity is portrayed as. It's just this easy, ask him to come into your heart and then go about your life. And just to be very transparent with you guys, I recently read the book Radical by David Platt. I've talked about him many times in my podcasts, but he really made me view Christianity differently and made me realize what I am even on this earth for. So definitely check that out. Just a side note. So as I rushed around cramming things into my schedule, grocery shopping each week or maybe even multiple times a week, stressed about meals to make, worried about the clutter and dust in my house, feeling inadequate with the experiences I was providing my kids, feeling inadequate with my clothing and how I looked, and so on, it hit me. I was using busyness as a cover for getting to the real problem. I had forgotten what life was about. We are living in a time where if we aren't careful, our society will strip the joys of life right out from under us with the disguise of more. It's subtle. You won't see it coming, but one day I believe many will look back on their life and see that they never really lived. I was this person just a couple weeks ago. I rushed, I crammed, I chased, but I never was arriving. I never found the joy that I longed for. I had it all, I thought, but there was a hole that I could never seem to fill. Today, I want to start by asking you what you want from life. This episode is going to mean nothing to you if you think your life is already complete as it is. If you're happy, at peace, if you feel that you have all that you need and nothing else, then I would suggest that you move on from this episode. But if you are here feeling stressed, feeling rushed, feeling frustrated at life or the people in your life, just feeling like there's more, then you are in exactly the right place. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that my life is completely different in only a couple of weeks, and I have only implemented 3 new things. And believe me, I have tried diets, I have tried exercise routines, I've tried living in different houses, I've lived in bigger houses and smaller houses. But nothing ever truly changed me like doing what I've done these past couple weeks. I am just starting, which is the most exciting part, because if I can see such drastic improvement in such a short amount of time, I can only imagine how happy I will be in a few months or a year from now. To start, identify what you want from life. I always thought the busyness was what I thrived on. That if I was busy, I was happy. If I was pursuing new things and more in my day, I was successful. So often we think that having more means we are living well. Our needs are met, and we even have an abundance of things just in case. People stockpile clothes and kitchen items, food and toiletries. We act like everything is disappearing, and if we don't act quickly, everything will be gone. We think if we don't have the latest fashions, we're not going to fit in. We think that grabbing food out is helpful in making our lives easier. That cars are the key to living because they get us places faster. That more stores give us more choices. But is all this true? Is filling your kids with Taco Bell, tacos, or McDonald's chicken nuggets making you happier than slowing down and making them real food to fill their bellies? Is grabbing a bag of cookies from the store better than taking the time to teach them how to make homemade chocolate chip cookies for them to pass down the memories and recipe to their children one day? Is constantly running errands, going on field trips, shopping, and booking every bit of time in a day more important than sitting in a cozy little home and talking, cooking, just living? Has living become boring? Have our homes become only a place to sleep? Has nature become a place to leave untouched rather than to explore? Have we forgotten how memories are created? Time. Time is the key. Time to think, time to talk, time to hold and love, time to explore and feel, time to appreciate. Time has gotten pushed aside. No one has time. We feel like we don't have any of it in a day, but that's because we fill each and every moment. We fill it with activities and stuff and activities. On autopilot, we live thinking we are fine, but we're not. We are burnt out. We don't enjoy our kids or our spouses. We feel lifeless in a society of more, and we never measure up or have enough. How could we, when we constantly are being bombarded with the idea that more is always better, that the grass is always greener on the other side, that we are not enough unless we are chasing more, that we are not enough if we aren't successful? But have you defined what enough is to you? If anything I have said resonates with you today, then continue with me to find true peace and joy right where you are today. It is my hope that my story is going to impact you and make you see how change can be the best thing to happen to you. To start my journey and give you a background of how I came to this decision, a few weeks ago, I happened upon a video by Madison Gray on YouTube about how to romanticize your life. I was intrigued, and that started my complete lifestyle change. I know it sounds crazy, one video, but I know God wanted me to watch that video and make a change because I now feel that I am not only on track personally and with my family, but with God as well. Our society has no room for God, no time to hear His voice. And if we aren't careful, we will lose our relationship with Him in the pursuit of more. And it is happening to Christians all over the world daily. Madison advocated slow living and giving children a childhood. Since the first video I watched, I have watched many more and started implementing lifestyle changes right away. Before we jump into what I did, I want to preface it by saying, slow living can be achieved anywhere. You don't have to garden, or farm, or make bread from scratch. And just as a side note, you may have seen on Instagram, I posted a story of me making bread, and it was really the first time I've made bread by hand, and it turned out so well. But I've been doing this a few weeks, and I just started making bread now. You don't have to do any of these things. You don't have to live in a certain location. You don't have to fit some mold in your head of what somebody who slow lives looks like. Slow living is a way of being. A way of being that brings immense peace and inner fulfillment. It is about essentialism and presence. Really think about that. It's about essentialism and presence. It resembles intuitive living. When you know yourself and what you inherently value in your life, then everything around you becomes clearer. Slow living is a lifestyle choice that is very different than the mainstream. Instead of needing to be seen, busy, successful, and productive, you simply need to enjoy your life. I am so excited to be bringing this episode to you today, not only because this will be the last episode that I will have on my podcast until after Christmas. So in the meantime, be sure to go back and listen to any episodes you've missed out on, but also because this is a topic that is so exciting to me. I am mega passionate about it, and this episode was one of the easiest to write, to record, and to bring to you today. So I really hope it speaks to you, and I hope that you enjoy it. Let's jump into what I did and what you can start doing to bring meaning to your life. So the first thing I did was start to understand how having more actually created more stress rather than happiness. Sure, it might feel good to get some new clothes, but what happens when you bring them home and now your drawer is jammed too full? Or you buy some snacks from the grocery store that seemed like a great idea, but when you eat them, you just feel bad that you're filling your body with junk. Or you indulge your kids with toys that they want, and now they have so many and continue to ask for more because they are never satisfied with what they have. Or maybe you keep chasing more money from a job until you realize you are now working overtime constantly and have no time for yourself or your family. I think you get the point. We chase stuff thinking it will fill a hole in our life, but it never does in the long run. It just promotes wanting more, but never really being satisfied. So to remedy this, I started looking at all I had in my house as inventory that I was storing, that I had to keep track of. It became a source of stress to me, and I needed to change it. My goal by the end of spring is to have gone through and minimalized my entire house, but I have started with my kitchen and bedroom for now. The kitchen is easy because you don't have as much of an attachment to food or kitchen items, so you can pare down to only what you use and don't keep extras that don't make sense. The more you have in your space, the less time you can enjoy using what you do have. When you have what you need and only what you need, you allow time to just enjoy the task at hand without spending time looking for what you need. This really changed my life. The second area I instantly tackled was my closet. I had tons of clothes and I never wore them. I had heard of the 10-item wardrobe and how French men and women only keep 10 items in their wardrobe. So at first it sounded stifling and crazy, but having less means more freedom to enjoy what you do have. You gotta trust me on this. Look it up on YouTube, check out what other people have done, and try it for yourself. By paring down to such a small amount makes each day easier to get ready, and it makes you value what you do have more. So I managed to get my wardrobe down to 13 items, and since starting this method, I have never been happier when getting dressed. I also noticed I feel a million times more comfortable and happy in what I am wearing. It's really a win in all ways. If you want to implement the 10-item wardrobe, it is helpful to know that underwear, socks, pajamas, bras, gym clothes, winter coats, and special occasion dresses are not included in your 10 actual pieces you pick. I would still suggest paring down in those areas as well so that when you are getting ready, it is easier. I personally kept only a few items of gym clothes, 2 pairs of pajamas, etc. And if you want some ideas on what I kept and what you could maybe keep, I live in the Northeast. I live in New Jersey, and it's pretty cold right now. Not terribly cold, but it's pretty cold. So I kept things that made sense for that weather. So if you are living in a colder climate, this is a great start. If you want to kind of do what I do like to wear dressier things. So you can keep that in mind. Maybe you're more want to be more practical, but I find it fun to get dressed up in the day. Even if I have nothing to do, it's just special. It makes me feel better. So I chose to keep 2 pairs of jeans, 1 light pair and 1 dark pair, 1 pair of nice leggings, a skirt, a dress, 5 sweaters, a cardigan that matches. Just also side note, everything that I kept really coordinates with the other items. I kept a dressy shirt and a versatile jean jacket. So I spent an entire day picking out what brought me joy from my closet first, and then I spent the entire evening trying on all those pieces to narrow it down to the items I could work with. Now, the amazing thing is that only with a few items, you can still make tons of outfits by mixing and matching those items to create new looks. So the possibilities are shockingly endless. I chose items that are timeless and that make me feel feminine. One thing that really bothers me is the media has made us think that tighter clothes, less clothes, designer clothes will make us look better. But honestly, guys, I feel so much happier wearing girly things that make me feel wholesome. And for me, a few quality shoes that will last the test of time are essential as well. Materials that are natural and comfortable make me feel really good throughout my day. Also, as a side note to this point, it's important to mention that social media and smartphones in general have to be gotten under control to truly de-stress. Don't try to slow down your life while being on your phone. When you can set that aside, you can finally live. Let go of the need to be attached to your phone and really see what amazing things will happen when you're present. For me, I know a lot of people dumb down their phones. There's ways you can turn off notifications. You can put it on airplane mode. For me, I like to be available to people, so I turn up my volume, but I'll try to leave my phone throughout the day somewhere where I know I'm not going to just pick it up mindlessly. So now to the second thing you can start doing is when you've finally gotten your space to where you can breathe, where you can live, where you can think, where you can cook, where you can create without clutter. The next thing you want to do is stop thinking you have to fill each day with something. I used to think that I needed to get out of the house every day, and I think this started to be in my mind when I realized that with little kids, you feel sometimes tired of just being in the house. You just want to get out. So I would grocery shop. I would have play dates. I would grab a coffee every day. Go to Dunkin' or Starbucks. I'd go out to dinner. I would always find a way to get out of the house each and every day. And I'm not trying to say that getting out is not important or not beneficial, but I think we forget that we have a beautiful opportunity each day to enjoy what we have right in front of us, and we take that for granted. Hopefully, we all have a house or a space we call our own. I used to think I wanted a huge house with many rooms, a beautiful big home, until now. I don't want a mansion or lots of rooms. What I really want is a cozy, intimate setting to build relationships with Rick and the kids. I want to make memories and use our hands to create. I want a home with a garden and opportunities to move at a slower pace. I currently live in a very small home, and honestly, I'm grateful I do. It's cozy, it's close, and it embodies what a home should look like. Togetherness. Time. A big home we would get lost in, doing our own thing, allowing our lives to drift slowly apart. But with small comes a space that can be easily managed and enjoyed. Wherever you live, you can make it a home that encourages togetherness. I truly believe that, and I mentioned it a little earlier, that it does not matter where you live. Slow living is a mindset, and you can create it anywhere. Take time to think about what that means and looks like to you, and make changes in your home to create an environment that lets your vision flourish. For me, less stuff is the key in a small home to create a happy environment. I'll have friends come over and say, "How do you keep it so organized?" And honestly, they said that before I even started this slow living movement in my own life. So I think that even now, like, I'm just going to keep paring down and really getting to the point where I feel like I can live most comfortably and peacefully in my environment. Valuing what we have is crucial. Having a space for what we value and creating warm, cozy areas to connect and talk without pressure or time frames is crucial. Since I started getting rid of things and making my space clearer, I started to make homemade meals, and I actually enjoyed the process for the first time. Reed started cooking with me, and we would talk as we cooked. Our relationship has grown through this. And I love working with my hands and just taking the time to make a meal that actually is special. It's not takeout. It's not a frozen pizza. It's a homemade chicken pot pie. It's a homemade bowl of soup. It's a good grilled cheese. It doesn't have to be fancy. Homemade bread, just something that makes you feel alive. And maybe you are not a baker or a cook. That is absolutely fine. Find out what makes you alive. For me, I love to cook. I love to bake. And I'm just loving it even more now that I enjoy the process and I enjoy and take time to savor that meal. We all will sit down sometimes by candlelight and we will just enjoy the labor that I put in making that in the day. And it's so special. Our homes should inspire us to go out into the world and do great things, and then welcome us back for refreshment. As the Irish novelist George Moore said, "A man travels the world over in search of what he needs and returns home to find it." Create a space that makes you want to just be, to relax, to be rejuvenated, to breathe. Also, for me, I personally do not want a TV in my space because I feel that it is a distraction. We have always lived without a TV through the time Rick and I have been married, and it has been really essential to our peacefulness in our home. We do have one in the basement for the kids if they want to watch a movie at some point, but I really love just not having that distraction. This brings us to the third thing that I did to bring all this together and to truly slow down, and that is to take every opportunity to be in nature. Even if you don't think you're a person that cares to be outside, even if you live in a freezing cold area or a burning hot area, and you don't like being out because it's too hot or it's too cold, go outside. Give it a chance. I never knew that I would love being in the woods as much as I have, but I've discovered that it is the most peaceful place I can be. So, like I said earlier, I live in the Northeast in New Jersey, and although right now where we are, it can be really cold, there is absolutely nothing like a walk in freezing weather in the woods. Like, I just don't even know how to explain it. I feel alive. I feel healthy. I feel peaceful. Just every good word I could say, I feel good. So I spent a week getting out every single day for a hike with the kids. And some days we went twice, and guess what happened? There was less arguing and tantrums for the kids. They played more. They had more imagination. They were less bored. And they just were happy with each other. I noticed it would last all day long. If we went in the morning, they would still, by the evening, be happier. It was really incredible, and I honestly am never going to go back. Even if you live in a city, you can still get outside. For us, we found a place that we actually drive to. It's just a few minutes away, and we hike each day. We stopped making excuses. Weather doesn't matter. Going to the same place over and over is absolutely fine. And honestly, it might be better because it becomes your spot, a place to count on to find peace and to hear God. So like I said, I used to get out and get coffee every day. And instead, I challenged myself to bundle the kids up in their hats and gloves. And let me just say, just a side note, putting on their little hats, their gloves, their coats, their scarves, there was something about that process of slowing down and enjoying putting those items on that like made me feel joyful in my heart. It sounds crazy, but just the process, the slowing down, it really makes a huge difference. So I would bundle them up and I would drive straight to the trail, and we just breathed. The cold air felt as if it was pushing all our worries away. And let me just say, this all seems a little silly, honestly, me sitting here telling you all this. It seems like, of course, we should know these things are good for us and do them. But somehow our life tends to veer towards what comes naturally. And unfortunately, that has become the quick route. To get rather than give. To rush instead of taking your time. To consume rather than to create. It has become normal to compare our lives to others and to try to keep up. To never be content, but to always want more or better. I think that when we slow down and allow ourselves to enjoy God's creation, to let our children learn through touching their world, to give ourselves time to connect and talk over a meal, to listen to a song that makes our heart happy, to have enough time to ask God what we should do or how He wants us to live that day out, it is then that we are truly living. We can still spend time with others and enjoy the outside world, but always remember, it's only you that can create the time and space you know your soul longs for. God created us to want to pursue His creation, to enjoy His people, and to choose who and where we allocate that time. When I started spending more of my day in the woods, I felt an instant personality shift. I felt kinder. I felt more compassionate. I felt less rushed and pressured. I felt less stress. I felt less focused on myself. I finally felt peace with my body. I felt like I didn't need to chase diets or exercise routines. I felt alive. And you know what else happened? This is not really important, but still pretty amazing. People noticed a change. People wanted to be around me more. They complimented my outfits. They wanted to know how I was so happy, so peaceful, so content with life. And it hit me. Our world lives in fear. Fear of the future, fear of the changes, fear of the unknowns. But we don't have to be the world. We can choose faith, and I believe God wants us to enjoy the life He so graciously has given us that we don't deserve. I can only imagine how sad He must be to see His people rushing around, all confused, chasing after the world rather than Him. Lost, lonely, confused people. It's all a choice, and every single person has the opportunity to choose how they want to live their days. All you have to do is have the determination to stick up for what you know is important and follow through, no matter the cost. The author Dwayne Elgin said it beautifully. Simplicity of living, if deliberately chosen, implies a compassionate approach to life. It means that we are choosing to live our daily lives with some degree of conscious appreciation of the condition of the rest of the world. I hope you choose to live a different life. It's not going to be popular. People are going to push against it because it doesn't fit their mold of how you should live or what you should do with your time. But push. Push through and see how life can be filled with more joy than you ever imagined. We aren't here to live our lives in a rush. One day, when we are at the end of life, I don't think we would be proud to say, I used every minute of time buying as much as I could and cramming as much as I could do in my days. Instead, I want to look back and know I enjoyed the beauty around me, that I shared that beauty with others and that they saw the creator of it all through each opportunity, that I made time to slow down by being present rather than distracted, that I could say I loved life and knew in my heart that life did not mean stuff. Life meant the people God gave me and His creation. And that was enough. More than enough. I hope this episode touched your heart today. I hope that you find this peace, this excitement for life that I have found recently. And you know, I have to say, it's going to be worth it. If you can find yourself a friend who is passionate about this in your life, cling on to them, because it's hard to find people that are that intentional to live a life that's different. Because it is, it's different. Everyone out there is chasing stuff, chasing success. We think that we need to have an end goal in mind to be enough, and it's just not true. The journey, life is a journey. Life takes time, and God created us to enjoy each and every moment, and the little moments are the special moments. And also, make sure to take time to slow down this Christmas. Enjoy the reason for Christmas, the reason we celebrate Jesus's birth, and I pray that you would have the best season of slow living with your family this Christmas. If you haven't reviewed my show on Apple, be sure to leave a review. I look forward to seeing you back in January.